Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Buffet, and you know if you join us on a regular basis, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Now, if you join us on a regular basis, you know the slogan for this show. If it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchase Incorporated LLC captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchase Incorporated LLC serves as an economic blueprint for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American-owned solar installation, design, workforce development, training companies, EV charge, EV manufacturing, and companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities. Also, to address the effects of high energy costs at our HBCUs, as well as to utilize Black-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the under and underemployment of young African-American men and women locally and nationally. Also to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impact of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. You also know that this program is also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. And you can get more information on that initiative by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. That's positivechangepc.com. Also, this show is brought to you every week by the National Association of Blacks in Solar. And you can get more information about that organization by logging on to our website at blacksandsolar.org. That's blacksandsolar.org. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a tremendous amount of activity going on in this renewable energy sector. And we have been blessed this morning to have a very dynamic African-American lady who hails from Columbus, Georgia, that's doing, she's doing extraordinary thing called in the industry as a regulated market. That means the utility company controls the generation of energy, the pricing of the energy, and what the companies that have to work in those market demographics can in fact be paid if they want to build a large-scale solar power plant as it relates to they if the energy is not going to be used for a project which in the industry, we try to make things very, very plain so what we say the goats can get it. Where it goes behind the meter, that means that energy will be used by a manufacturing company or a farmer for the purposes of growing crops or something in those market demographics. They're not allowed to go out and identify off-takers like a Microsoft or a large computer conglomerate that uses a lot of energy that can pay them a better return on investment for the energy for that project. So what it does, it stymies the growth opportunities for our African-American-based solar installation and design firms that operated it in these regulated markets, ladies and gentlemen. And these regulated markets are legal monopolies because Congress has granted that opportunity for these large conglomerates such as the Duke Energies of this world, such as the Exelons of this world, to control market share. And the country is sort of carved up in regions, and it's supposed to be regulated by the Federal Interstate Commerce Regulatory Commission. We know it as FERC. But we know money talks in America, and everything else needs a wheelchair. So without further ado, I want to bring on, and we're going to have an interesting conversation with Mrs. John L. Manafee, President and CEO of Solar Times USA. And good morning, Mrs. Janelle.
And top of the morning to you as well, sir. How you doing?
Great, great. Well, it's good to hear your voice. Janelle, I sort of laid out and sent you a number of questions in a survey that the National Association of Blacks in Solar, myself and my vice president, Mr. Will Shirley of Sundial USA in Basin, Jackson, Mississippi. We prepared that information in a membership opportunity document, but it sort of hits the home as it relates to problems gaining significance in market share in your market demographics because of the lack of public policy addressing renewable portfolio standard legislation, whether the state of Georgia has passed that, whether your public service commission in your market demographics have passed what we call net metering. And to our listening audience, net meters are what they call smart meters. That means once those meters are installed, they give people in those market demographics who install solar systems on their roof. We don't want to get too technical so our people can't understand what we're talking about. And they're known as PV systems. Once you install a solar system on your roof, the sun hits those panels. Those panels are, they have a converter box, and it's an electrical harnesses that are connected to those panels, and that direct sun called DC goes down to that converter box, and it's converted from DC to AC, and then that runs your refrigeration and your other home appliances that may be in one home.
Yeah.
So what you don't use is what we would call the excess goes back into the grid, and that meter has the capability of letting your local utility company in your market demographics know exactly how much excess energy that's being generated by that system that's on your roof that your household is not using. And that's going to be based on the time of day. You know, people get up in the morning, they're trying to get the kids out to school. They may be washing clothes in the evenings or preparing dinners. So you got more household appliances and things being used. So you're going to use more energy from that system. But when people are, once they leave and go to work and they shut everything down, then that's those PV systems in the sun is still working. It works sunlight and something called daylight. So we know we're doing the daylight hours, that those systems and things have gotten so sophisticated now that firms like Tesla and other firms and Generex, they come out with battery storage systems for these PV systems that can store that energy. So it still allows that local utility company to know how much energy is being used in that household, and that access energy then goes back into the grid, and it's something called a credit, and it's referred to as green credits. And in different market demographics, based on demand and supply, they have more value than other ones, and it's known as extracts. And people, these credits are bought and sold every day. And we know that in deregulated markets, they have a more competition in the marketplace, which allows for a higher pricing on those green credits than you have in regulated markets. So net metering plays into to that, and rates that are set up by your local public service commission that's supposed to be looking out for the consumer's pocketbook. Low-income solar access community programs, incentives, and market drivers, and building upgrades on the grid in your which is nothing but the you look up. When you're driving down the highway and you see power lines connected to the poles, well, that's called a grid system, which you and I and everybody else that pay an electric bill helps pay for. But it's controlled by the rural co-ops of America. Here's another group that we don't understand, and because of the African-American community, we don't understand how energy works and how the dollars work in the energy game. It has a dampening effect on firms such as Solar Times USA. So I want you to just join on in and jump right on in back into this conversation, Janelle, and talk about Columbus, Georgia, and some of the issues that you face in your market demographics. Go right ahead.
Well, I really do appreciate the platform and the opportunity to share this information, because you know, there's so many aspects and markets and experiences in our lives that we don't really understand it until we're faced with it. And so, you know, I love that you brought up RSP. And, you know, the South has such a wonderful abundance of sunlight, of solar radiation. And actually, I'm still on the board of the Georgia Solar Energy Association, and I'm on their policy committee. And one thing that we're trying to promote is good solar policies throughout the state. Now, we do have an issue relating to having the type of policies that work for people. And just like you said, you got the Public Service Commission that, quote, unquote, represents the people. But at the end of the day, how come we look at the aspect of the net metering opportunities? Well, Georgia Power had capped it at like 5,000 or, you know, however many megawatts that, you know, of the program. Well, how are you going to cap net metering? You know, how are you going to cap, you know, the opportunity to put solar energy generation back onto the grid as something that you pay for to work for the people? And the one that capped it was a public service commissioner. So it's not necessarily the fact that they look out for the people, but they look out for them for the corporations that are well off.
Well, that's like the
plan. If you look at the fees, if you look at the fees related to, I'm sorry, sir.
Well, I wanted to make it plain, Sister Janelle, because we're talking to our community here. And folks do understand something on the radio called payola, where they used to pay the DJs to play the records. Well, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
The utility companies come in, and these commissioners and our people really don't understand the power that these appointed folks on these public service commissions have. These public commissioners, public service commissioners are supposed to be there to serve the public. But under the table, they get all kinds of sweetheart deals after they leave off of these commissions. And that's what you have to, what our community has to understand, that you have to pay attention to who these people are and what is their agenda when they, when they're put on these commissions by these politicians, because the utility companies, the energy companies got super deep pockets, and they can provide sweetheart deals and things for travel and all kinds, and going to the bowl games and getting tickets to the see the Falcons and the Hawks play and everything. So I'm trying to sort of break it down so our people can understand what comes into play when these people are making these decisions on putting a cap on how many megawatts of green credits can be on for capacity, can be in a demographic. Because once you cap the capacity, that caps your ability as a solar installation or design firm to grow.
That's right. And it also kneecaps the people. You know, it's
exactly.
A mix. It takes away the power from the people, no pun intended. And I want to also go back to your to the mention of the RSP, okay?
I said I wanted our people to understand what that is. That's renewable portfolio standard legislation. That's when your local government passes regulation that says by year 2035, that in your market demographics, this much energy must come from renewable sources, which would be solar, wind, or hydrogenetics, or even when you get to dealing with nuclear, they're classified as clean energy sources. So I want to make sure the people understand what we're talking about, Janelle. That's it. Go right ahead.
Yeah, no problem. I'm glad that you kind of helped people understand that. And so then that when Georgia and might as well say the Southeast region, the block, they don't have the renewable portfolio standard. And this is one of the things that these policies I'm really trying to push in our area, in our state, because it's such a wonderful means of turning your on-site solar energy system into a cash flow opportunity. And this is where you're able to trade. Let's say if you are a homeowner or a business is able to install solar on there on your grounds, and then you're able to tap into that RSP opportunity, which is a renewable portfolio standard, and you help the utility meet some of those standards because you're putting electricity back onto the grid when that solar overproduces and cannot be utilized in your household or your business, and you put it back onto the grid, then that adds value into your system when you have that type of legislation. And that then you start tapping into your RECs, your state renewable energy certificates or credits. And these are able to be traded on the market. Every time it hits one megawatt hour, you can trade those. And that's money in the pocketbook.
Sister Janelle, let's make it plain for our listening audience. It takes 1,000 kilowatts to make 1 megawatt hour. It takes 1,000 watts to make 1 kilowatt hour. And once your system generates those 1,000 watts, you got a kilowatt hour, which, as you elegantly express, has a value based on the demand for that energy by the renewable portfolio standard. that's been put in policy by your legislators. So I always like to sort of stop people, and I don't want to stop your flow, but I want our listening audience to understand it, really what we're talking about and why it's so valuable for people to participate in installing solar systems on their roof, because you have to sort of make it plain to our folk. And not that we're dummies, but we just don't have the we've not been exposed about energy in this arena. And this is an educational process and an educational platform. So I always like to sort of do that. So go right ahead, Janelle.
Yeah, no, you know, no problem, you know. And what's so interesting about this is that until you actually come into that arena and you have to deal with that arena, you really don't think about the need for, you know, solar energy or electricity. But this is people know that. Utilities know that. And they know that majority, probably maybe 1% or 2% out of the masses, understands the need for electricity and their position in it. So when you have these type of progressive renewable portfolio standard, you're able to make money from your on-site system, okay? Trade it on the stock market, make some cash. It turns into an experience of, man, I could use this for extra groceries or to make my electricity bill payment or whatever you want. This is an opportunity for you to improve your experiences, but, you know, not too many people understand this, and they continue to elect. In the state of Georgia, we elect our representatives, and they keep on electing people that have no interest for them. They care more about the big guys. Now, I'll share with you something that's also interesting. We border Columbus, Georgia, and Phenix City, Alabama, okay? And so we get clients, people that want to do installs in Alabama. And not too long ago, Alabama has just Alabama PSC has allowed Alabama Power to charge $5.41 per kilowatt hour. Or per watt of a system installed. So let's say if it's a 10-kilowatt system, they can charge a customer of theirs $54 and some change per month. Talking about you are utilizing electricity from the grid as a backup. So this is another charge. It's like, no. You should only pay for what you utilize. Why are they coming back and saying, we're going to give you an extra charge, you know, because you got a solar energy system on your home or your business? And so that has stopped a lot. I mean, all of them, you know, all the people that call us from that region in Alabama, Phenix City, Alabama, whoever's covered by Georgia Power, Alabama Power, they can't get it because it just doesn't make economic sense for them to be paying
a fee.
And it's just pimping, if you ask me. You know, you ain't doing nothing special.
You know, see, this is what's so infuriating when our people don't understand whether it's a regulated market, which you have to operate it. This dampens opportunities for the Solar Times USA LLC. This keeps this sister from being able to grow market share in her market demographics. And it makes it very, very, very difficult to grow your firm, but yet climate change is a reality, and the only way that we can combat climate change is through renewables. So it's like Biden administration is in all these damn commercials that you see from the gas and oil companies talking about what they're doing with renewables. plain where the cows can get it. We call it BS where I'm from down in the country, okay?
Now, okay.
This is the issue of today. Climate change is real. These forest fires, wildfires in the west, the hurricanes that affect us in the east and on the, in the east and southwest shorelines with the floods, is all coming because of fossil fuels and coal. And these utility companies are playing Russian roulette with our generations to come, because they ain't going to have no damn future. And if people don't believe that this is real, all they have to do is watch Mother Nature. Did you see what happened in Texas last year when they had that ice storm? Have you been following the weather? Some of the documentaries that they put out about the extreme conditions on continents such as when you begin to look at the country of Australia, how it's playing havoc, and the developing nations, which we know is always referred. I don't understand why folks of African descent is always concerned, referred to as third world, like it's more than one planet. But we're on the same damn earth. And when we began looking at so-called highly industrialized economies such as the United States, Canada, Europe, Russia, China, where you have manufacturing and high technologies, these are the manufacturing bases where things are done on the world. Well, you look up and see what they're using to power the factories. They're using fossil fuels, which is warming the planet, which is creating the problem. So the only way we can address that is by using clean energy, forms of clean energy. But when you put legislative policy in place that puts a fine on people for even putting a solar system on one's rooftop, and then the damn utility company will say, okay, well, we'll provide you with green credits, but we want to build this large solar power plant over here, but we want to own it, control it. We just don't want you to put it on your roof. This is what's going on in the United States of America. So we come on this program, we don't, if we need to take a tank to kill a gnat, a submarine to take out a fish, that's what we do on this platform. Because we don't have time to play games, because Mother Nature is not playing with us on this planet. And people are playing making decisions every day because they have their own personal short-sighted agendas, which revolve around greed, which means how much money can I put in my damn bank account? Is this what the bottom line is, Sister Donnell?
Well, yeah. Yeah, they don't care. They don't care. You know, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of them have put their head in the ground. We all see that 10 years ago, those that have been around, they know that no trees was burning like this, okay? No flooding has been going on like this, you know? This is even 20 years ago. I remember there was a time I could walk outside and I saw fireflies everywhere. I don't see them no more. What's really going on? And it's all of our fault. And we need to put legislation in place that makes some damn sense. Stop blocking it. Stop continuously helping big, huge conglomerate organizations like what's going on in Alabama, you know, with those fees. That's just telling, that's turning people off from going solar. That's not turning them on. You know?
This is the most ridiculous thing
you ever want to see. I mean, it's irreprehensible. But see, what we have to do.
That's why I wanted you on this show this morning. Because, see, you are in the trenches, and your job is to run Solar Times USA LLC. You shouldn't have to take on the role of being the person who's speaking up for the African-American community and other communities of color in terms of getting an opportunity. But even the majority community of white folks don't understand how they're being misled and screwed over by their local utility company. And it seems the only damn thing would matter if the lights went out in College Park where the Georgia Bulldogs couldn't play a damn football game, then they might get the message.
They still wouldn't get the message because nowadays it's not until a beloved source tells them yes or no or SpaghettiOs, they believe it. We have entered a very scary place in our society, and they could just dub anything fake news or I don't believe it, and it's that. And so the angle I'm hitting people at is savings. You save your money. They don't care about the environment. And that is a very scary thing because where else we got to go? They always make movies about some far we go, get in the spaceship and fly to Mars or fly to some off place because Earth is not no longer here. Well, I don't want to go nowhere else. This is my home. This is the only place I know. And nobody, poor people ain't got no money. They're going to be the ones to stay here and die. And the rich people that have messed it up for everybody is going to have all the resources so that they can somehow build a habitat that they can live through this mess. This is a shame.
This is literally the demonic devil
running our world into the ground for money. People do need money. We need money to survive. But you don't need to get all the damn money to the point that you tell people. There's places where they're pulling gas out the ground and their pipes is leaking. And it's leaking the stuff right into the air. Methane, the worst type of greenhouse gas you ever want to see. And they don't tell me about it. I don't care. And they're literally killing, wait until there's big deposits of methane that's in the oceans, and we're trying to keep the oceans cool. If the oceans ever heat up, there's something called a runaway greenhouse effect. And the whole place get really too, you think it's hot in the summer. When you walk outside, it will bake people's skin. It can get real nasty here. So,
what you are saying to our people is already taking place on the continent of Australia. That's what I'm trying to say. They've had droughts 4 years, and when it finally rained so that the farmers could grow grain and wheat, one of the things that has been able to survive is roaches and mice. Okay? And when it finally rained in Australia and the farmers thought they were, we're finally saved, all this wheat, they had more wheat, they had more barley and grain, their dispensaries was filled up, but it was also filled up with mice that grew. They had over 9 billion mice. They had to actually burn and torch those wheat and barley resources in the field because it was infested with rodents. It's because of the imbalance of these greenhouse gases and on the environment, methane. Not alone looking at what happened to my niece. This is a true story. My niece suffered from asthma from the time she was a baby. Her name was Audra McLeod.
Uh-huh.
She was like, every time you saw her, she was like, we call her sunlight. She always had a smile on her face. She always had something positive to say. And she recently graduated from Bowie State University with a degree in journalism. But unfortunately, at her graduation party, Audra had an asthma attack and died and left us at her graduation party. I've never seen that many young people really fill up a church. She had almost 2,000 students from Bowie State University came to her funeral. And we had to get in. The pastor, one of the largest churches in Prince George's County, because her father and mother, both ministers, donated the church for the funeral services, and it was packed to the brim. And this is the type of impact that is having on our community, the African-American community. We're burying our young people with these diseases and cancers. Asthma is something not natural. It comes because of our environment. The NAACP put out a report several years back saying within less than 75 miles, 35 miles of any community of color in this country, specific African American community, you got a coal fired generated plant, something burning, and putting these carcinogens and this in the airways, and we're breathing this stuff. Then we drive out these cars that we all guilty of having to drive an older car because we can't afford a new one. And they're contributing, transportation is contributing to this, the buses, the vans. Everything is contributing to global warming, and we must address this or we will no longer cease to exist as a human race on this planet. And as you said, we have been put in an economic position in this country through 400 years of chattel slavery, Jim Crow, and public policy through our federal government, which helped push us in the economic situations that we see manifest themselves in African-American communities across this country today. And this new Build Back Better and this new infrastructure plan that the Biden administration is trying to get through, the issue that I have been beating the drum around, Janelle, is where is the Green Economic Development Plan for the African-American community? I'd like to know, Janelle, what type of support have you gotten from the local city council there, from your public school systems there? Have they looked at ways that they can convert over to electric vehicles or electric buses? Are any of these things coming into play as it relates to how our community solar programs in the Columbia, Georgia market demographics?
No. Actually, this is not the easiest place to even go solar. You know, one thing about it is that African-Americans contribute so much to the society, so many dollars to the economy. I mean, you know, the way they rig this economy for bad credit and no credit and keep a suppressive, invisible suppressive means, and those that can accidentally get out, you know, are you know, they feel like, oh, this is an exception to the rule, but a majority, this is the way this is. No, I'm like one of the few black women doing solar in the state of Georgia, okay? And so then when I go up against a white installer versus a black installer, they're going to pick the white one because they just know that they know what they're doing. But then they tell them stuff like you can go 100% electric and you get off your utility with solar, which it, what it does is it helps to offset that electricity cost. You know, they lie to them, and they're not the, some people aren't the best, but they just look and judge from the skin color. This is a better company to deal with. And, you know, so we need help. We've always needed help because this country, I love this country. I've been developing our international business. And, you know, I've been in Kenya, Botswana, Libya, South Africa, all over the place. And we have our differences, please believe me. But America is still one of the best places to live in this world. But we have problems that we continuously need to address. And one of them is the stereotypes that we put against. And you're suppressing some of the best folks that you have in this world. We need to get past the color and look at the character of the people that they're working with. Tell me about your background. Give me a presentation. Let me know what's going on with you. And then you realize that this is probably the most qualified person to work with over another company that they may be all over the place, but they just slap the systems all over the place just to do whatever. So my thing is for our people to get ahead is that the government supported slavery. The government supported inequality. If anything, they put laws in place, the redlining districts, and I mean we can go on and on. So now it's time for them to do right by the people of color. Okay.
I'm gonna step that a difference. Janelle, because see, I don't have a problem, but I have a problem with the term "people of color," because we are of African descent. Africans who happen to be born in the North American continent, known as the United States, so we call it we are of African descent, so we are African Americans, just like you may have Africans in Cuba or wherever you might go, where our people may be, based on where the slave ships landed. Okay, now, but not only that. But we were actually here before the European arrived. And it goes back, and Dr. Ivan Van Sertima laid that out, and they came before Columbus. And many of our intellectual giants who have researched this and documented this in terms of the technologies that we are using today, came from people of African descent. And what is so sad about this whole piece is that folks of European descent have this mantra and this thinking pattern that if they don't set the table, then we shouldn't have this discussion. And if you're going to talk about, and they use all kinds of code words. They talk about equity. You'll hear the word equity thrown about. You'll hear the word diversity thrown about. But what does that really mean when we begin to look at the economics of how monies are carved out for and broken down and how legislation is put in place? Who would have known when the brother who started Minority Contracting, and I'll think of his name in a minute, but he wrote the first original plan was written out of Philadelphia. I think of his brother's name in a minute. It eludes me, but white women were not considered minorities, and all of a sudden, legislatively, it went through Congress, and white women became a minority under 8A contracting law. So by law, they had the same opportunities to compete. And when you had black mayors such as the Harold Washingtons of this world and the Marion Barrys of this world from that era who fought like hell to make sure under the city contracts, under the municipalities that they ran, that you had and the former mayor of Atlanta, I think of his brother's name, he's the one who was responsible for building the new airport there in Atlanta. But anyway, they set aside a minority-certified business enterprises, which they are known as today, but they were for African-American-based firms to be able to get a piece of these contracts. And we know, looking at how the political atmosphere is in this country, that the majority group in this country never does anything if it's not going to benefit them. So based on what they got, something called the Constitution, today as we speak, the number one issue of whether a woman has the right to decide what she's going to do with her own body is at the forefront because of a law that was passed in Mississippi challenging Roe versus Wade, and they have presidents. We have presidents, over 40 years of presidents set in the place, but what happens? Elections have consequences.
Consequences, yeah.
After Barack Hussein Obama, the first African-American president of the United States, folks who don't look like me and you lost their minds. And there was a backlash, and we got to call it for what it is. So they came up with somebody called COVID-45, known as Donald Trump. We know that he showed through his policy, he's shown through what he's done, that and based on his history and his father's history, they're racist. And these folks, he put Trump in office. Now, who are these folks? They're white women. That's who put Trump over the top. And what did he do? He appointed these, he stacked the circuit courts, he stacked the Supreme Court with these conservative judges who did what? Turned around and made rulings that were not in the best interest of anybody, including white women. So today you got people all in the streets. You can't even get into downtown Washington, D.C. There's so many damn people down there raising hell about this thing. But I see how the mainstream media sets the tone. They don't talk about the cause. They already want to talk about the effect. And I am saying, if we look at our historians, Dr. Claude Anderson, Black Labor, White Wealth, Powernomics, Dirty Little Secrets, it's not like we don't have people who have researched this system, laid out a plan of action, and if we as black folks in this country don't understand what we would like to do to deal with this, I have originally only scheduled this show for 60 minutes, and I wanted to have this sister on for the first 30 minutes. We've already almost done an hour because the issues that about has come. We're talking about the same thing affects. We're talking about the same attitudes. We're talking about the same thing that is affecting things outside the energy industry, but everything starts with energy and ends with energy. And if you don't think it does, let your power shut down and you can't get to the gas pump. You can't get to the ATM machine. You can't go to the grocery store because you can't operate any of these computers without energy.
That's right.
We are in a catch 88, not 44 or 22 in this country. And if we don't start educating the masses of our people around the importance of paying attention to energy and resources and climate change, it'll be, little boys will say, when you play a game called chess, it's called checkmate. And this is where we are, ladies and gentlemen. And we don't have a lot of time left in the time capsule. And in terms of African-American firms trying to go outside of the country to do business, to work with our African nations, it's great. But the problem is we are in the same situation here in the U.S. on the African continent. And it's all because of public policy. That means people who make the laws have set up legislative roadblocks to prevent the Solar Times USA LLC in this country from growing market share in your own market demographics. You're not getting on these planes and traveling to these countries because you wanted to. You're doing it because you're forced to do it because of the
that's
type
right.
of legislation that's been passed in Alabama. So what we like to do on this show is connect the dots, and that's why I wanted you on today. So with that being said, Janelle, what do you need in people to do? How can they reach you, and what would you like to see happen?
Well, number one, I want people to get activated. They can't sit back and say, woe is me, and not vote, and not participate, and not stand up. You can't just sit back and let this happen to you. You have to be accountable for your own freedoms. Just like Ned Turner and others back in the past, Harriet Tubman, the ones we revere, they were just people. But they said enough is enough. And you have to say enough is enough and start figuring out a plan to come together, mobilize. You can start a group of 10, you can start a group of 20, or you can create a movement and make some real change. But any way you can, start figuring out how you can start taking your country back and start taking your pocketbook back and start taking your world back, because they talk about developing some other planet and Elon Musk talking about going to Mars. Set that mess up, you know? All that money can be put right back here, invested into people on the ground. And then when everybody's fixed, then you can go and do whatever you want, because that's our money that they're playing with. We invest into their stuff, and they act like it don't even matter no more. They need to invest right back in us just like we invest into them. So I'm saying to you is, start really looking at how you can make a difference in your own space, in your own world, in your own environment, and then we all connect back up and continue to make a change. But in the meantime, if you want to connect with me, you know, my website is solartimeusa.com or mysolartimeusa.com. My telephone number is 770-255-8835. Repeat, 770-255-8835. And we're here for the people. We're not here for the powerful. And we're here to make things change. You work with farmers. We help them reduce their electricity costs through solar. You wouldn't believe how these transmission lines want to charge them. I mean, these EMCs want to charge them tens of thousands of dollars to run a transmission line into their to run a pump And so we have off-grid solar applications for folks. So we're here to empower people. So looking forward to connecting with you. And if you have any questions, I'm here for you as a sister.
Well, Janelle, you have provided a powerful testimony on this platform this morning, Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And that's why I was so pleased when you indicated that you would come on the show and talk to the African-American community about what Solar Times USA LLC is doing in Columbus, Georgia, and some of your efforts to work in a collaborative manner, sister, is from my perspective, is more than just something that people should say, oh, she's doing a great job. You have to be commended for it, for what you do and not what you say, because I know you you walk it every day. And I'm one of those folks out here to try to support you. And if you don't know that by now, you should know it. So with that being
I feel it. Let me tell you something. I'll just say this, that you see the platform, and you're pushing this platform. And the platform is that America had been anti-black, pro-slavery. So now it's time for them where's reparations? Reparations could be in the form of support black businesses, period. Legislation to support black business, because they developed the whole model of being anti-black.
I don't want to stop you, but the clock on the wall, it says that's all.
Okay,
entire hour. So I want to thank you for taking time from your very busy schedule to be a guest here on this platform of Solar Now in the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. We didn't even stop to even try to take any calls for this show, and everybody know that calling number is 646-668-2948. And I apologize, but I wanted to make sure that we were able to get as much ground covered as we could. I think we hit on some other areas, and you won't be a stranger to this show. So what I say to people, till next week, I don't want you to meet us back here. I want you to beat us back here. Until next week, we say go in peace. As we close out another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And thank you for your presence, Janelle, and you have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our broadcast today as we conclude another edition of Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And remember, this show is brought to you by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, which serves as an economic blueprint for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation, design, workforce development, EV charge manufacturing, wind, African-American wind, and hydrogenetic firms in the United States of America and around the world. So with that being said, the National Association of Blacks in Solar endorses this program, and we try to put forth the effort to bring this show to you in the African-American community. And we do that unapologetically. So until next week, we say go in peace as we close another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America.
There's a song worth singing. I can sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold the key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't singing.